living a Spirit-filled life. And so we're going to read, starting off, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. The company of the prophet said to Elijah, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan, where each of us can cut a pole, and let us build a place for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elijah replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my Lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. When we look at this tonight, my prayer for my life, and I hope your prayer for your life, is that your life is going to make a difference for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. Our Lord wants all of his children to live in such a way that you make an impact on others for his glory. You're his son, you're his daughter, and we are called to glorify our Lord with our lives. So one of the first things I want to say about that is if you're going to make a lasting impact for God that doesn't just last during your lifetime but goes beyond your lifetime, you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something you and I cannot do on our own. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have an illustration of a Spirit-filled life and what difference it should make, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. The story is that there's a revival going on, and there's an evangelistic, not evangelistic campaign, but the prophets are growing so quickly that there's not room to house them. It's like a school for prophets. And so they suggest to Elijah, "Let's go together and get some poles and build a new one." And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, again, I want to read it one more time. The company of the prophet said to Elijah, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servant?" "I will," Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my Lord," he replied. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. The reason I wanted to read that twice is so that you really get the story down. There's a theological seminary going on there. And they're growing so fast, they don't have room for everybody. They want to keep growing. And so they suggest to Elijah that they go to the Jordan River, cut down some trees, bring them back, and build a bigger place. And so they're right in the middle of what God would have them, but the one man had borrowed an axe. And back then, if you borrowed something, you had to replace it if it broke or was lost. And as he's cutting down a tree, the axe head comes off. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with axes and axe heads, but usually, before the head comes off, you got plenty of warning because it gets loose on the end. Starts to wobble this way, that way, and you can say to yourself, this is not good. I better do something. I better expand the wood or something, and you can put wedges in. But apparently this man maybe saw the signs of the losing of the axe head, but he didn't do anything about it. The axe head is kind of a picture of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many of us, when we first got saved, were so excited about serving the Lord. We were so excited about it because we were filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord moved in our lives, and our lives were really making an impact. But then things started to get a little wobbly. Life called, and jobs called, and all kinds of things got in the way. And although we saw the signs of not being filled with the Spirit, we did nothing about it. And suddenly it falls off. Do you know that the axe and the axe head were borrowed? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is borrowed too? The Holy Spirit comes from another. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's important you understand what we're talking about here. There are steps to replacing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Because the Holy Spirit's a person. You can't divide a person. The filling of the Holy Spirit is Him getting more of you. You've got all Him you're ever going to get. But He wants to control our lives. He longs to be Lord in our lives. So the axe that had been borrowed was not his. So he had to get it back, because back then, axe heads, especially metal ones, steel ones, were extremely expensive. This kid's a college kid. He doesn't have any money. And so he's got to do something here. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it talks about the Holy Spirit being borrowed to us. He says, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everybody in this room has some skills, natural abilities, and if you're born again, you have spiritual abilities. But all of those are on loan from God. Everything about you is from God. You have nothing about you that you had anything to do with, except just using what God had given you to improve it. And so when we get the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to brag about. And when we start to lose the power of the Holy Spirit, we certainly don't want to brag about that. We didn't have it of ourselves. And again, I want to read this verse one more time. Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Some people think what the church really needs today is more training. That's the problem. That's why the church doesn't have any power. I want to tell you, church leaders, by and large, especially in our country, are better trained than they've ever been in all the history of mankind. It isn't more training that we need. I'm not against more training. I think it's a wonderful thing to have young people go to college and get a good education and so on. But it isn't that we need. We need better programs. Folks, we've got more programs today than the church in all of history has ever had. It isn't more programs that we need. Our need today is not more training. It's not more money. Man, if we just had more money, why, we could build a great big church here, and boy, people would just flock. You know, the Lord warned the church about thinking money was the answer. If you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, he's talking to the church in Laodicea. He says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Folks, this church thought, because they had lots of money, they were a trading center. And the folks that went to that church were quite wealthy. And they really thought their wealth was going to solve the problems of the nation. Folks, money is not the answer. It's the power of the Spirit in our lives. Some people say we need more harmony in the church. I want to tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never have harmony in a church. It won't happen. Just because you got a gifted leader does not mean that a church is going to have harmony. That's the Holy Spirit's job. When we think about training, I want you to think back. Many of you know about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had very little formal training, almost none. And yet God used that man to shake two continents. He shook our nation, and he also shook Europe for the Lord. It isn't a matter of more and more and more training. It's being fuller and fuller of the Holy Spirit, letting him have control of our lives. In the book Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians by J.D. Crystal Lawson, some of the great men of the past related how they were filled with the Spirit. And each of these men called it by a different name, but what you call it isn't really that important. Some said it was the deeper life. Some said it was the exchange life. Some said it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Spirit. Folks, it doesn't matter what you call it. When the Holy Spirit gets you, he's going to set you on fire, and your life is going to make a difference. So I want to show you three reasons why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because God's word commands it. It doesn't suggest it. It commands it. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Actually, it can be translated like this. Be filled with the Spirit in present tense. It's not a suggestion from God. It's a command from God. Many Christians really put down a drunkard. Because right in that verse it says, do not get drunk on wine, doesn't it? And so they're really down on these people that keep getting drunk, but they don't even think about, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Is God really in control of my life or not? Do you understand as a Christian it's just as sinful not to be controlled by the Holy Spirit as it is to be a drunkard? They're both commanded there. Most Christians get really down on the one, but they totally ignore the other. We have to come to this idea that we are commanded to be filled. So when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what your life is like that student having an axe handle in his hand, but no head on the axe. And he wants to chop down some trees. How long would it take you with an axe handle and no head on it to chop down a tree? You could beat on that thing and beat on that thing for months and months and months, and it's not going to come down. In order to be effective for the Lord, we must go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? You can't do anything. And so we have to acknowledge this. The average Christian today does exactly the things that we talked about. Try to substitute money and the power of money for the Holy Spirit's work. They try to substitute training for God's power in their lives. They try to substitute regular attendance for God's power in their life. I go to church every week, but have you got any power in your witness? Have you got any power to affect your children and your grandchildren's lives? It may be a lack of the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we learn that there's no substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit, I cannot do what God has called me to do in my own power, we're going to go looking for that power. We're going to go looking for the Holy Spirit to fill us. God's work demands the filling with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do God's work, what he's called us to, without being filled with the Spirit. In Romans 12, verse 1, it tells us how to get that filling. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Most Christians get saved because they don't want to go to the lake of fire. So they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but most Christians never give themselves and their families and their entire wealth to the Lord. That's what he's telling us to do here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everything that I am, everything that I have, it's yours, Lord. I want to learn your ways, and I want to walk in your ways. God does not fill a dirty cistern. God only fills clean containers. And in your life, if you're ever going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay filled, you've got to constantly confess sin. You've got to constantly be checking yourself, lest the old head start to wobble on the end of that stick. You're that head. The Holy Spirit will fill you with himself so that you're sharp and hard and your life can make a difference. But if you aren't careful, the head's going to come off and you're just going to be a stick. Every Christian, again, has the Spirit. If you're truly born again, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. The question is, how much of you does he have? How much in control is he? We need to keep that in place. In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't cut down the trees God's placed in your life if you don't have that head on your stick. You'll beat your head against the wall, but you won't make any difference. What a church needs most is the power of the Holy Spirit. What a dad or a mom needs most is the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need more classes on how to raise children. We need the Holy Spirit leading our lives so that we can lead our children to come to that same point in their lives. Now, the axe head was lost back in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5. It says, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried, it was borrowed. It's interesting to see how this axe head was lost. Right as he lost it, he was doing what? Out getting drunk, right? No. He was right in the middle of what God would have him do. He was working for God's kingdom. And the axe head fell off. I want to tell you, many people think the way to stay filled with the Holy Spirit is stay in the church, man. Keep working. Get another job. Teach Sunday school class. Sing in the choir. Do this. Do that. Remember Martha's story? Martha, Lazarus' sister? She was so busy about serving that she forgot to listen to her Lord. Folks, being busier is not the answer here. I think everybody should have a ministry at least. Some people can maybe handle two or three. But don't try to think because you're busy in the Lord's work that you're going to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You can lose it right in the middle of all your activity. There has to be a constant searching of heart. We prayed this morning during the communion service. Lord, search me. Know my heart. See if there's any anxious way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a constant thing. It has to happen over and over and over. And we have to go back to the Lord. Adam and Eve were in perfect environment and they fell away from the Holy Spirit. Folks, it doesn't matter what your environment is. It doesn't matter how wonderful your church is or how active you are. If you aren't constantly checking yourself, you're going to come off the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave you, but the power is going to be gone. Once you come to church, one time you came and you were joy-filled, you loved to sing the hymns, they really meant something in your heart. But now you come into church and you go through the songs, but they don't move you at all. Folks, I got to tell you, the songs haven't changed. You have. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But when you lose that joy and that love for the Lord, you don't have any power at all. Not only for yourself, but for anybody else either. It's like a little boy and they're playing sandlot baseball. And one of the boys gets a really big hit. He puts it right over the fence, right out into the weeds. And the boys go out there to look for that ball, and they can't find it. So one of the boys said, well, let's just forget about the ball and go back and play. How are you going to play ball without the ball? It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you lose it, how do you play the game? And again, it isn't that you lost the Holy Spirit, it's that you lost the filling of the Holy Spirit. He's no longer empowering you. We need that all the time. An old deacon at a country church, the pastor asked him to do the closing prayer. And the old boy stood up, kind of took him a minute to get up, but he said, Father, would you fill our pastor with unction? Yes, Lord, fill our pastor with unction. And the pastor, after service, went over to the old boy and he said, what did you mean, fill the pastor with unction? And he says, well, I'm not sure exactly how to define it, but I can tell you this, you don't have it. Folks, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what we do, we need it desperately. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Apostle Paul was a man who wasn't afraid of much, but he was afraid of this. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In the King James, it says, be a castaway. That word disqualified for the prize or a castaway means to be set aside. The work's going on over here, but because you're not walking in the Spirit, because you're not staying connected to Jesus Christ, the Lord's going to take you out of the picture of service. He's going to set you aside. And you may be as busy as you can be. You may be still teaching that Sunday school class you taught for 10 years. You may be singing in the choir that you've been in it for 15 years. But there's not going to be any power in it anymore. Boys and girls' lives are not going to be changed. The church is not going to be edified with your singing. Why? Simply because you're doing it in yourself now. The Lord wants you to do it with His power, with His strength. The axe head was located. This is one of the more exciting parts of the story to me. In 2 Kings 6:5, it says, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he said, oh, no, my Lord, he cried out, it was borrowed. That's the first thing we have to do. We've got to know that we've lost it. How do you determine that? When souls are not being saved anymore, when lives are not being changed, when the joy of the service is gone, you're still doing the service, but the joy has gone out. Those are all indicators that that axe head's getting pretty loose. And pretty quick, unless you change course, the axe head's going to come off. And you're not going to have the power that you need to serve the Lord. So the man, number one, had a confession. He said, alas, master, I've lost it, and it was borrowed. The Holy Spirit, His power in your life is borrowed from the Lord. It's not yours. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's in you. But the power is borrowed from our Lord. So what we have to do is identify, where did you lose it at? I want to just go through a few things with you and see if any of these ring a bell. Number one. When you lost the power of the Holy Spirit was when you allowed a bitter attitude to come into your life and you didn't do anything about it. I want to tell you, that's real common. Real common in the church. Was it when you began not to pray? You got so busy with life, you no longer took the time to pray. We talk about our Lord Jesus. You know, He had a habit that He would spend literally hours, sometimes all night, sometimes a day and a night in prayer. If He needed it, how much do you suppose you might need it? Folks, prayer should be a very important part of your life. Was it when you gave up the idea of sharing your faith with somebody else? The Holy Spirit nudged you and said, I want you to talk to so-and-so, and you said no. Folks, when you begin to tell the Holy Spirit no, the power is going to go away. He is Lord. And when we confess him as Lord, we're supposed to do life his way. And I can't tell you how many Christians I know that are refusing, absolutely refusing, to do what the Lord calls them to do. When God asks you to do a job for him, and you wouldn't do it, that'll take away the power. We need to be those that say, Lord, would you show me the place where I lost it? James 1:5, it's not in our notes, but James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you know that it's gone, but you don't know when you lost it, you don't know where you lost it. James 1:5 says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and will not upbraid you, and it will be given you. You can't get the Holy Spirit back in power until you know where you lost it. You've got to go back and have some confession. You've got to go back and have some cleansing. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The life that makes an impact is the life that the Holy Spirit is touching on a continual basis. When we talk about the axe head and we talk about the branch, Elijah cut down a branch. He took the branch out and stuck it in the water. And what the King James says is the axe head came up and swam. And you'd say, what? That's a miracle, right? I want to tell you, whether you use the King James or not, to have an axe head come up to the branch, that's a miracle. If it swam and moved closer, that's even maybe more of a miracle. But either way, what does the branch stand for? If you look at Isaiah 11, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch that will bear fruit. So what is that branch? What is that rod that came from Jesse? That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the branch. If you'll seek him, he'll help you get filled with the Holy Spirit again. It's so important. There's a claiming. Again, God will not fill with the Holy Spirit a dirty vessel. If you're going to be filled and stay filled, you're going to have to confess and repent and be cleaned in order to have the Holy Spirit come back into you in power. So you've got to have the power that God wants you to have. God doesn't want you to feel sorry for sin. If you've had sin in your life, whether it's rejection of doing the will of God or not witnessing or whatever it might have been, not praying, whatever. God wants sorrow, but he doesn't want worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow does what? It laments the fact that it sinned. It laments the fact that it failed in what it was trying to do, but it never makes a correction. God wants godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. The kind of repentance our Lord is looking for is an honest confession of what went wrong and why you're no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety at him because he cares for you. Folks, no matter what's wrong, you can go to the Lord, you can confess it, you can repent of it, and he will once again fill you with the Spirit. So what kind of church does this church want to be? Do we want to be a church filled with activity, filled with programs, or do we want to be a church filled with the Holy Spirit? If this church is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then what does this church have to do? We have to seek the Lord. We have to confess, each one of us individually, because you are the church. This church is not this building. This church is the people in the church. If we want power here, we have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, where did we lose the power? Individual lives, the same exact thing. We've got to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I maybe don't even know when or where I lost the power, but would you show me? Folks, he'd be more than happy to do it. He wants you and me, he wants all of us to have the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the only way we can do his will for our lives. It's the only way we can have an impact on this world that's going to last for all eternity. Do you know the things you do for the Lord are really going to last for all eternity as long as they're done in the power of the Holy Spirit? They aren't going to just last your lifetime. They're going to go on for eternity. In John 15, verse 4, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If it seems to you like sometimes our church or your own life is just treading water, we're not making much progress, this is what we have to do. Abide in Jesus Christ, be filled with His Spirit, and then we're going to make a difference. So I promise God that if He will fill you, the Lord has promised that if you will seek Him, you will find Him. But you have to seek Him with what? All your heart. Not a halfway deal, all your heart. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for an illustration of how useless our lives are if we're not filled with the Spirit. It's like an axe handle trying to chop down a tree. Lord, it's not going to work. Many of us wonder, why don't we have the power? And it may very well be that we're not filled with your Spirit. Father, work in our hearts. Help us to draw near to you, and then you've promised to draw near to us. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.